Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
We began the month by dealing with matters pertaining to our health. I began with a message called Destiny by Choice, a message on habits. It was followed by Pastor Joshua Harris's message on the power of the tongue and how health will avoid us if we have the wrong things that we're saying. Last week, I talked to you about the elephant in the year, which dealt with a theology for our health and our bodies. As pastors and leaders, we would be remiss if we don't deal with the most important part of our health, which is the health of our minds. I've chosen to entitle this message, The Braving of the Hidden Epidemic. The United Nations World Health Organization gave us a report in 2017 about depression and other common mental disorders. The global health estimates are literally in epidemic proportions. Cases involving millions with depressive orders by regions are stated in the 322 millions, the largest of which, 27%, is our very own Southeast Asia region. Interestingly, our next-day neighbors at the Western Pacific region accounts for the second biggest, which is 21%, and combined, they account for nearly half of depressive disorders. What's staggering is that this is increasing since the 1960s to the date of the report in 2017. They say that at this moment of COVID and post-COVID, this will probably multiply by three. The question is, what is the state of our minds? Our minds can be healthy or unhealthy, disordered or depressed, and at some point become in a dangerous place. I want to talk to you very casually about my own personal experience with the state of my mind. About 23 years ago, this picture was taken. I looked good on the outside, a little bit chubby probably, but my blood works weren't working. Something on the inside of me was not happening. In fact, more than a person that looked good on the outside, on the inside, I looked more like this matchstick. I was actually burning out. I was burning out very gradually in my mind, and it was affecting the chemistry of my entire health and body. Now, the breakthrough came for me when I found this verse in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame, speaking of Moses, a flame of fire, and out of the midst of a bush, he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Now, you can imagine, for a person who was burning out, how my attention was taken by the words, a flame of fire. More importantly, the words, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. I wanted to have that in my life. The power of God in my heart that causes me to have fire to do things and yet will not be burnt out. This led me to another verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, and right there was my real concern. I was concerned about my health. I was concerned about my family. I was concerned about my provisions. I was concerned about the future. I was concerned about a lot of things, and that brought a lot of fear. But it says that God gives us the spirit of power, the spirit of power and of love. But what was interesting was this idea of having a sound mind. This journey led me to research and try to understand how my mind works and the state of the health of my mind. I realized that the state of my mind starts with my brain. The brain is basically the physical part of our minds, which is like a computer. The computer or the brain is like the hardware that has a memory chip that stores the memories and a central processing unit that processes that information. Now, what's interesting about the brain is that it weighs literally less than 2% of our entire body weight, but it consumes 20% of the energy of our bodies. This explained the very cause of my burnout. Because my mind was always running, my brain was always working, the chemical factors was literally causing me to burn out. Now, further understood that the brain was just the hardware. The critical part was the software, which was the mind. The software of our computers or our brains, which has a memory. That memory has the central processing unit or our intellect. And that chip is what we have in our brains. And one of the things that our computers don't have is it has memories and the CPU, but it doesn't have the capacity for imagination. Our brains are capable and our minds are capable of imagining things, both good and bad. And this now forms our knowledge and our understanding. In my journey of trying to become healthy with my mind, I realized that understanding and knowledge were necessary to have wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowledge or memory or intellect or experiences, but the ability to apply the knowledge and the understanding. A key verse to nurturing the health of my mind came in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, our bodies, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Notice the words, we are not waging war. This began the start of the key to a successful, healthy mind. I needed to be vigilant. Why, you ask? Because in my mind is a war. I was at war, and my mind, albeit being one of the smallest vehicles in my body, the brain, by the way, in case you didn't know, they tell us, are the size of two fists. They're very small, and yet in that little space of physical real estate, if you may, is where the real battleground is. Our minds are constantly fighting inside that brain that causes chemical imbalances or joys that can make us literally healthy. Now, further, you notice in verse 4, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. The words weapons of our warfare explain how to be vigilant. Vigilance with our mind means we need to know exactly the weapons of our warfare. To illustrate this idea of weapons, I want to take you to a moment when I visited Toledo in Spain. Toledo is known for its steel, and because it was known for its steel during the Middle Ages, during the medieval times, it was the place where they exported a lot of weapons. Swords, knives, helmets, shields, armory, and even war hammers. When you stroll down the lanes of this walled city of Toledo, you're going to find shops that are filled with all kinds of weapons. You walk inside the shops and there are even more weapons. Interestingly, Toledo also houses museums of war. I walked into this museum called the Museum of Catapults, and it showed you different catapults and even battering rams that are designed to break down walls or cities. You're probably asking, Pastor, why are you telling me about your tour experiences? Well, the reason is this. In verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not like these weapons, but that they have divine power. The interesting thing is, while our weapons are different, they're both designed to destroy strongholds. That word stronghold is the Greek word ochoroma, which literally means a fortified castle. Fortified castles are made of walls. These walls are sets inside our minds that prevent us from knowing fully who God is. Now watch what happens next in verse 5. It says, we destroy arguments. These fortified strongholds are arguments and like rocks that have been set in place in our minds. They're lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. These rocks, so to speak, have become mindsets that form the way we think. In another version of the Bible, it says they demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Walls that prevent us from being who we're meant to be, but causes our minds to think a certain way that is actually unhealthy for us. Let me give an example of some of these rocks that have built these walls. Arguments, opinions, and lies. You are a hopeless case. A teacher actually said that to me one time. Why can't you be like your brother or your sister? Why don't you look as well as they are? Or our family has always had a problem with asthma or problems with gambling or all sorts of lies and opinions and arguments that have been set in our minds that set the course of our lives. You'll never amount to anything. You don't have what it takes. Or maybe you've been told you'll always be poor because your family's always been poor. Now, there are other lies like everything's okay. You can do anything because everybody's doing it. Or maybe you've heard somebody say immorality is just being real. Or your grandmother and your father and your uncle are all divorced. Or racism cannot be avoided. These are lies that says nobody's like you. Nobody likes you, rather. Or there is no way out of this thing. This is a fortress built of old walls that will be there for the rest of your life. Now, interestingly, in Toledo, there are also what is known as warhammers. Warhammers are used to punch somebody or hit somebody who's riding a horse. There were long ones and there were short ones for hand-to-hand combat. But there was another use for these hammers. And the Bible says that the word of God is not merely a sharp sword. It actually says in Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces?" The way to nurture our minds is to use that weapon and hammer the lies of the enemy, the discouraging words and the curses and the arguments, the lofty opinions and pretenses have to be hammered through by the very word of God. Notice where it says, be vigilant because we're in a war. Know your weapons. And finally, our strategy is to know your strategy. The strategy is defined in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, take captive every thought and make it obey Christ. Make it obedient to Jesus. How do you do that? How do you actually make these things happen? Now, the second verse I want to share with you, or verses, is found in Romans chapter 12. The first part says, and here's the part of our strategy for how do we make sure that we can take captive of these thoughts. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice where it says that our first key, our first strategy, is not to conform. By that we mean, don't allow yourself to be molded. A mold is something that puts something that's soft into shape. And that's pretty much the way our brain works. Our brains are actually like plastic. They can be molded and shaped. Science has recently found that one of the most amazing breakthroughs is actually science has now figured out that our neural networks in our brains are shaped and reworked throughout the entire life cycle. In other words, we can actually reshape our brains for the rest of our lives. The ability of neural connections to change like this is known as plasticity. Interesting. A term derived from the Greek word to mold. The idea of molding our minds starts from when we were children. This is to inform us as parents to start molding and shaping our children even at an early age. I've got a short video of my grandson, Lucas, who's reciting a verse, and I want to show you how that works.
Very good.
You might have heard her mother pleasingly telling him how good he did, but he actually said, as for me and my house, we will deserve the Lord, which is we will serve the Lord. But no matter what, the point in saying that is that neural pathways can be guided along and formed and shaped at an early age. Now, further it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, and that's the strategy. Our strategy is not to conform, not allow ourselves to be molded to a certain pattern. I'm reminded of a story my wife was telling her group of pastor friends. She was actually confessing to a story, and she was telling these pastors about a moment that she and I were watching a video together. Interesting story, because this is not us, but we actually looked something like this. We sat down together, switched on the television set, went on YouTube, and we were watching this young couple in their 30s and by 39 claiming to have been able to retire at the age of 39. My wife was actually responsible for making me watch it. So I sat there like a good husband, smiling, and we were amazed at what they were doing. Sadly, over the course of the next few moments, my wife was getting depressed. She stood up and said, I don't want to watch this anymore. Because some of the mindsets, some of the old patterns started to come up. And she was not enjoying the thing because she knows that we're a lot older than they are and they were a lot more forward. Thankfully, my wife has the capacity to take captive her thoughts. And that's important. if we're going to win in the strategy to have mental health, we may get depressed for a moment, or we may even have a certain moment of disorder, but when we're capable of arresting and not allowing ourselves to be molded by the pattern of this world and our thoughts, we will have victory over our minds. Further, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. The world has a pattern, and our strategies don't allow it to mold us, don't follow this pattern. Most of all, don't believe everything that the world offers you. The world offers us something like a cold, nice beverage and a drink. It looks great on the outside, but we don't realize that the ice might actually not be clean. The world keeps showing us this great thing, but sometimes we don't realize, think about it this way, would you drink that if the ice was not clean? Or would you drink that if it had two drops of urine in it? Would you drink that if it had a pinch of poison? You know, when you learn to drink things that are unclean and with things that are not supposed to be there and there are things that are deadly for you, eventually you're going to drink something when there is really a lot of poison in it. The point being, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, which is the second stage of our strategy. Our strategy is we're in a war, we know our weapons, but our strategies do not conform. Don't allow yourself to be molded by the pattern of this world. Rather, be transformed. What does that mean? Beyond reformation. To be transformed is not to reform, because to reform leads to perform. To be transformed is to be changed because of the very design that God made your mind to be as you feed it with the Word of God. Now, Sue Stewart Smith, the prominent psychiatrist and psychotherapist, wrote this book called The Well-Gardened Mind. In the book, she chronicled the healing power of plants, the earth, and the outdoors. And we all know that. Just take a walk in a garden and you know you feel better. You feel more relaxed. The things that you smell, the things that you see, all make you feel better. What's interesting about her book was not just the power of gardens, but the fact that our brains are actually like gardens. They have neural pathways that grow and that can be not just reformed, but can be transformed. Which brings me to a little bit of an illustration, a personal illustration. When I was walking a few months ago, I found these stalks that were cut by the side of the road. I brought it home, put it in a pot, put some soil in it, and put water. A few weeks later, about less than a month later, a leaf started to show up. Notice, I didn't do anything. I didn't try to reform. I didn't try to perform. I merely put it in the right place. And that's the way your mind is. When you put the right things in it, it begins to grow. A few weeks later, the leaf got better. And now, two leaves have shown up. This is our mind. Our mind is capable of being transformed if we will but allow it to follow the design that God made for it by feeding it the truth, by removing the strongholds and feeding that mind with the truth. We will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Transformation begins by not allowing ourselves just to reform it by performing, but by allowing it to be renewed. A garden is a picture of renewal. Tomatoes are harvested, new tomatoes come out, and more tomatoes come out, and they just keep renewing themselves. No different from sunflowers. Let me remind you of the earlier quote from scientists themselves. The neural networks in our brain are shaped and reworked throughout our entire life cycle. That is powerful. The Bible has been telling us all through the centuries that our minds are capable of being renewed, and now scientists have finally caught on. We've realized that we can actually change our minds regardless of how old you are. You may be in your 60s like me, but you can still change and rework the cycles of your mind, the way your mind is shaped, because our minds are capable of being transformed. How? Not by reforming and performing, but by renewing. When we do that, we will end up testing the things of God. Romans chapter 12, the second half says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. When our minds understand the will of God and how good and pleasing, not only good and pleasing, how perfect that will is, our minds will be stayed on God. Our peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let me summarize this message. Be vigilant. How? Know that you're in a war. Know your weapons. Not only know your weapons, form your strategy. Your strategy begins by not conforming to the pattern of this world. Do not allow it to mold you. Do not allow that pattern to shape you. And most of all, know that the world offers you things that are in the front part, looks good, but is actually toxic in the future. But be transformed, it says, which means beyond reformation, beyond performance. It is about our minds being transformed by renewing it and ultimately by testing and understanding how good God's will is, how pleasing and perfect it all is. As I close, let me close with one last verse that has really helped me through the years. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. The thoughts of God are within our grasp. Why? Because Jesus is Lord over our lives. Thus, we have the mind of Christ. I want you to pray this prayer with me as we declare and proclaim what Jesus has done for us. Lord Jesus, we proclaim your grace over our lives today. In you, we have the ability to know, understand, and apply the wisdom and power of the very words of the Father. As we pray, we are believing that you will continually renew our minds. And as it is renewed, we believe that our lives will be transformed into your image and likeness. Be glorified in our lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.